And as I was saying, we are continuing our Let Love Rise sermon series, and we're following the steps of bread making. And we've reached the process this morning in our steps where it requires a lot of waiting. So as you can see down there, we're waiting for our dough to rise. We're waiting for it to be ready to cook. We've done all that we can do, and now we wait. And waiting is so frustrating, right? I mean, waiting for the one line at the grocery store to be open and cleared for us to go through because we don't want to use the automated machines that we always have trouble with. Waiting for traffic, waiting for a really super fun concert that we want to go to this summer. Waiting is so difficult. This morning, we are going to explore together what Jesus has to say about waiting for God, and we're going to explore God's patience as we read a story that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus, at this point in Luke's Gospel, is on his way to Jerusalem, and next week, we'll celebrate that arrival to Jerusalem with waving our palms together as they did back in the first century. Jesus started this journey to Jerusalem all the way back in chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel. But this walk is going to take a long time. It's going to take a couple chapters because he's going to get asked lots of questions on his way to Jerusalem. He stops and does some healings and some miracles happen. And there are some times when Jesus just stops to teach. This is a teaching from Jesus today on that journey. This teaching is split up into two sections, but each are connected to each other. The beginning of the passage has Jesus addressing a very serious question about two different current events that are happening in Israel at that time, and he's asked what his response are to these events. These two events were probably familiar to ancient audiences, but the details, however, have been lost with time, because Luke is our only source of information on these tragedies. And then the second section of the reading is telling us a parable. And we'll see today with this parable how Jesus teaches all of us to be patient with each other because God is patient with us. So let's listen now to the word of God in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." And then he told them a parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and when he went to look for fruit on it, he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up all the good soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down." Here ends our reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, and for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. Friends, our middle hymn is Amazing Grace. That can be found in your green hymnal. And for those of you joining us online, those words will be dropping into the comments down below. Let's sing of God's amazing grace together.
Thank you.
Amen. Vi, can you pick the hymns every Sunday? You do a great job. You may be seated. And friends, will you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So 3 years ago now, I received a gift of this orchid that I brought to worship today. It was on Pentecost Sunday. I remember that because I stuck in the back a little flame of fire that I got from church that Sunday because it was Pentecost Sunday. They were giving out these Trader Joe flowers that Trader Joe's couldn't sell, so they donated them to the church that I was at the time in Florida. And so I was excited to, you know, receive an orchid. I didn't think it would last that long. I didn't have much hope in myself. I'm not a plant person. I'd never really owned plants before, but I decided to take it. I mean, no one else was taking it, so why not? I think people are afraid of orchids because they're a lot of work and high maintenance, but I didn't know that at the time, so I just took it. It was beautiful. So I took it, and you know, I developed a special relationship with this plant. I sing to her every day. I named her Twyla, a character in my favorite show that I can't say the name of in the pulpit, but it's my favorite show, and I named her after a character in that show. I tell her jokes, and you know, I wanted to take her to worship today because we sing a lot, and so I got a break from singing her to her today, and I won't sing right now because I'll spare your eardrums, but you know what singer I sing to her. But I do have to confess that last year I thought that she, my beloved plant, was dead. Because yeah, if you look at the plant, you'd see this brown stem right here. I left it because I don't know how to trim it. I'm not going to do that. But there's this brown stem right here. And so last year, that was the only stem that she had. So it was around this time last year. I was very worried. I thought that she was dying, and I didn't know what to do. So I looked up all these websites. I got the book, Orchids for Dummies. That didn't help. I couldn't really understand. I mean, it's a book made for those who don't understand, but it was still too complicated for me to understand. So I think they need to rewrite that. I'll write the second edition, I guess. But just sing. It would just be just sing to your orchid because you don't know what to do anyway. So just sing. So I got the book. I tried all the things, but I couldn't get her to look like she was living anymore. So I was getting ready to give up, right? I was frustrated. I didn't know what to do. But it was around this time. You see, God has a funny sense of humor. It was around this time that I met someone that really loved orchids, a friend that I just met casually that really loved orchids. They had orchids all around their home. They live and breathe orchids, which I didn't know that people did that, but it's amazing flowers. So it makes sense that there are some experts out there. So when I found out that he loved orchids so much, I was explaining, you know, this orchid I'm about to get rid of and have a funeral. I've already planned the funeral. I already know what songs I'm going to sing, her favorite songs. And I was explaining this, and he stopped me for a second and he said, "Whoa, let me take a look at this orchid." And I was like, "Whoa, you're an orchid doctor? Okay, I'll bring it to you." So I brought it to him. And to my surprise, he saw hope in my orchid. He saw hope that I didn't see. And so what he did, he helped me to find a new pot because orchids, I guess, need room for their roots to breathe. When you get an orchid at a grocery store, you know, they tie their roots together because the grocery stores know. They want you to think that your orchid is dead so that you'll do what? Buy more orchids. They're expensive plants. They want you to buy more. So they tie the roots together. They don't come in fancy pots like this. So my friend showed me the pot to buy. He gave new bark to Twyla, new fertilizer. And to my surprise, she started to grow. And a couple weeks ago, she's blooming for the third time. This is amazing. So I'm thankful for that friend, and I'm thankful for that he saw the hope in my plant. When I was growing impatient and planning a funeral, my friend saw the hope of what Twyla could be. And friends, that's the kind of love of God that I see in our parable today. That God waits for us because he believes in us. God waits for us because he believes in us. But before we get to the parable, our chapter start. Luke starts this chapter in an interesting way. He starts by saying that there was a group of people that have come to Jesus to talk about some Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. This appears to be referring to a massacre of a group of Galilean pilgrims in Jerusalem. The narrative does not reveal why Pilate would have done this, but from what we know of Pilate in history, it doesn't sound surprising that he would do something like this. He's not a good leader. This group came to Jesus here because they're trying to understand what the Galileans, they must have done something wrong to get this type of punishment. They're asking the same question that we ask today when bad things happen. We ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's what this crowd is asking. Jesus states that there was no reason for this. This was not God punishing this group. We don't know why this tragedy happened, but surely this wasn't God's doing. Sin does not make tragedies come. They just sadly come sometimes. This world is not how it should be. Jesus doesn't give us all the answers here as to why tragedies happen, but he does make clear that this is not the result of God's punishing. Jesus does turn the tables on these people who told him about this event by stating that all have fallen and all have to repent back to God. We all make mistakes, but despite those mistakes, God is patient and waiting for us to turn back to him. And to explain that patientness of God, we get this parable from Jesus. So parables, have you heard me say before, parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Parables are used by Jesus to call us into action, but sometimes Jesus wants parables to change our hearts and minds, and that's exactly what this parable is meant to do. See, in this parable, we have a landowner of the vineyard, we have a gardener, and we have a fig tree. The landowner has been coming for 3 years to this tree in his vineyard, and it hasn't produced any fruit, and he wants to cut it down. And then we have a gardener who pleads on behalf of the tree to the landowner to keep it alive for at least another year. This gardener sees some type of hope. And of course, we have the fruitless fig tree. There are some scholars that believe the angry landowner is God, Jesus is the gardener, and humanity is the fig tree. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that's how Jesus wants us to read this parable. In previous verses, Jesus has just implied that God doesn't punish. He waits for humanity to repent. And he says that story and illustrates that with this parable. So I see actually God as the patient gardener who believes in this fig tree, who sees the hope, who pleads with the vineyard landowner for just one more year. And I see us as people. Sometimes we are the vineyard landowner who loses patience. I mean, I saw that with you. I lost patience in you. Yes, I do talk to her, but I lost patience in you, but I needed encouragement, that love from someone who believed in you. And friends, I think I see that as God. God who believes in us at the times when we don't even believe in ourselves. God hasn't given up on humanity. He has every reason to, though, right? I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God. I mean, raise your hand if you are perfect in this room. No. Okay. We all need God, and he hasn't given up on us. He is patient and will always give us time to grow to our fullest potential. God wants us to be successful in our Christian lives. And like the gardener, God knows that it takes time and nurturing to bring us to the point where we can successfully and efficiently produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Therefore, just as the gardener nurtured the fig tree, God is continuously working in our lives, nurturing us, feeding us through his word and through community, a community that celebrates each other, community that walks with each other in the joys and the sorrows of this life. There is a hard part in the season of Lent because in this period of waiting, We're confronting sometimes scary truths about ourselves. We're looking inward. Self-examining is not easy. And I think this parable teaches that we need to be patient with ourselves as well, and acknowledging that God sees us as we are and still loves us all the same. So it's a time where we can release our shame to God, a God that can handle it. You know, I believe that God is less interested in us figuring out everything, and he's more interested in being with us. Can I say that again? Because it's just, God is less interested in us figuring out everything and more interested in just being with us. And we don't journey alone. God is right beside us, patiently waiting and guiding us through this journey as we head to the cross together. So as we let love rise, as we continue to let love rise this Lent, let us be like that patient gardener in our world. Let us give patience away to people. Let us not give up on people. Let's love all people into wholeness and be that beloved community together. You know, in our world, we're all about canceling each other these days, but God doesn't do that. God loves us into wholeness always, and so we need to do that too. God never gives up on us and relentlessly pursues us. So Twilight.